John Sullivan, portfolio manager for Olstein Capital Management, is here. He's making his maiden voyage talking stocks now in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market now, and how they are putting it all together. And yes, my guest is making his debut here on Money Life, but he's an experienced fund manager, John Sullivan, portfolio manager at Olstein Capital Management. He is on both the Olstein All Cap Value and the Olstein Strategic Opportunities Funds. Their methodologies are similar, but I will point out we're going to be focused more on Olstein All Cap Value today. But if you want to learn more about the fund or the funds and John as well, go to OlsteinFunds.com. It is, of course, linked up on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. John Sullivan, thanks for joining me on Money Life.
Appreciate it, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
John is here on the Gainbridge Hotline. Are you searching for flexibility in your annuity products? Starting in the second year of your annuity contract, you may withdraw up to 10% of your account value each year without penalty. It's another way Gainbridge puts you in control of your financial future. Gain access, gain control, Gainbridge. Visit gainbridge.life to get started. John, as we get started, it's always about the methodology, because as much as people like hearing what you're buying and selling, it means nothing until we find out how it works. And when we're talking all cap value, well, value is very much in the eye of the beholder. So let's start with how you define value, what it is that you're looking for, and then we'll get to what you're seeing in the market.
Sounds great. So here at Olstein, we're looking for quality companies trading a discount to their intrinsic value. We search for undervalued companies across all market capitalization ranges and sectors. We define quality companies as those with unique business models and strong balance sheets that are led by management teams with a proven track record of deploying cash to benefit shareholders. For us, quality companies pursue thoughtful growth initiatives, sensible capital spending that emphasizes returns on invested capital and increased free cash flow. We're also particularly focused on a company's quality of earnings. We determine if a company's accounting policies reflect business reality and make accounting adjustments to reported numbers to eliminate any management bias. Through our forensic analysis, we also want to identify any positive or negative factors that we may think would affect future free cash flow. By focusing on the quality of earnings, the stability of cash flow, and the ability of management to affect change, we also uncover a significant number of opportunities in company transformations and/or turnaround situations, usually before the market recognizes their value. In addition to those situations, the discount to intrinsic value is often created by Wall Street being short-sighted, overreactions to bad news, and overlooked or underfollowed businesses. Effectively, we focus on what a business is worth based on the company's ability to generate free cash flow. Free cash flow is the lifeblood of any business, whether it's a large public company with multiple divisions or a local entrepreneur who owns a restaurant. The business intrinsic value is based on the level of cash it can generate. We look at investing as if we're buying a business and not a stock. Going through how we look at the cash flows, we're essentially going through doing an in-depth forensic analysis of the company's financial statements, again, focusing on the quality of earnings, by reading all of the public documents, the 10-Ks, the 10-Qs, the proxies, et cetera. We're looking at balance sheet strength, effectiveness of the business model, unique business fundamentals, industry strength and competitive standing, and then determining whether we believe the issues creating the valuation gap are temporary or structural. Once the analysis is complete and an analyst wants to move forward with a name, each company must be presented to our research team here, and its thesis, analysis, and valuation are fully vetted before a single dollar is put to work. I'd also note, which I think is relatively unique here, is each analyst and portfolio manager at Olstein is a generalist. This means no one's boxed into looking for undervalued businesses in any particular sector, and there's no assigned sectors of coverage. We all have the intellectual freedom to invest in any area we believe is presenting us with good opportunities that meet our criteria. We also find that sometimes experts have so much knowledge of a given area, they have trouble seeing divergent views and are more likely to become a victim of overconfidence. Generalists don't have to defend any given sector and approach each new investment idea with a level of skepticism. We also believe that our discussions are much more fruitful and our ideas are more fully vetted without a sector analyst out debating everyone simply because of a knowledge gap.
Well, so let me jump in here for a second, because, you know, when you're talking about, let's use the forensic accounting, and we love that stuff here on the show. We kind of geek out when we can, but we're also talking about a market that peaked 6 months ago. And so valuations have changed dramatically. Are there a lot more things right now that pass the screen that, you know, we're talking about intrinsic value, but if the market has taken it on the chin, which it has in the last 6 months, have you seen more things that have better intrinsic value? Is it easier to find things? Or conversely, is it the other way? What you're really trying to avoid are the value traps, and a lot of things right now are showing up as value traps.
So that's a great point. So listen, at the end of the day, business valuations are significantly less volatile than the actual stock market prices that are taking place on a daily basis. So it's our job to take advantage of that volatility to buy good quality companies at very attractive prices. Certainly in this environment, a lot of things look a lot cheaper than they did, obviously. And what our job is to do is to go in there and make sure that we're valuing these businesses over a business cycle, 3 to 5 years, try to get them at a 30% discount to intrinsic value. And, you know, essentially, again, there's lots more ideas to look at, but that doesn't mean that we're investing in just any company that looks cheap. We're still trying to get the best of the best. And in an environment like this, this is where we like to move around and say, hey, there was something that, you know, was a good idea, but now I've got a great idea at a similar price that I can maybe move something around into. And we just try to set ourselves up.
When you are looking at current conditions, you know, how often do you wind up finding that these conditions are they changing the way you're doing turnover? Are you finding that there is more turnover either because you're finding the better valuations or because this market has taken enough off of intrinsic value and maybe shaken your confidence? What makes you sell?
Well, yeah. So really the things that make us sell, for one, is A, obviously if something hits its value, which, you know, there's a lot less things doing that right now. Changes in a business model that hamper the ability to predict future free cash flow. So, you know, there are companies that are better positioned in an environment like this than others. So when there's a company where we go through it and we're gut checking ourselves and we're ripping apart the portfolio daily and saying, hey, you know, let's go through these names and let's see, is there something that, you know, maybe is going to be impacted significantly more by inflation and have less ability to pass through pricing? Or you know, interest rates are rising and they've got a lot of floating debt and their cash flows are going to be impacted. We try to make sure we adjust those valuations so that we're not getting fooled by what look to be big discounts but maybe aren't as big of a discount. So we'll move things around and sell things if we see better opportunities in the portfolio elsewhere.
Well, now we need to find out a little bit more about how it works. What's an example or two, a poster child or poster children for the methodology that are things that you're buying?
Sure. So first I'll talk about Cisco Systems, ticker CSCO. They're at the center of macro trends driving increased bandwidth usage. They, you know, whether it's more video, cybersecurity, the Internet of Things, these guys have the products that supply both the networks, corporations, and consumers with technology for them to satisfy their increasing need for more data faster, seamlessly, and safer. They've got a massive R&D budget relative to competition, north of $6 billion. Fantastic net cash balance sheet, which allows them to pay back debt, you know, pay out a 3.5% dividend yield, buy back a lot of stock, and make tuck-in acquisitions. They've also been interestingly shifting to more of a recurring revenue model over time, with more subscriptions and software making up roughly half of revenue, which lessens the impact of individual product cycles that may have been the focus of the past. So listen, right now the current headache out there is they've had issues securing components to finish building their products. The way I see it, you know, backlogs are building, order rates are strong. So despite the observable macro headwinds out there, it seems demand is quite solid. And, you know, listen, we're looking at a great free cash flow business that we think is, you know, worth somewhere in the mid 60s, selling in the low 40s.
So that's Cisco Systems. What's another one that stands out to you right now?
So another great company, in my opinion, is CVS Health, ticker CVS. Here's a company that's playing an increasing role in the changing healthcare landscape in the U.S. We look at the aging population, increased health coverage, introduction of new pharmacy products, outpatient services at their stores, all looking to be nice secular drivers for their business. They have giant scale with between their PBM, their retail drugstore business. They're filling north of 1.5 billion prescriptions, in the U.S. retail market with a solid quarter share there. They're vertically integrated now with their purchase of Aetna, so not only does it add to their scale, but it gives them much more control over the healthcare process and the healthcare outcomes of their patients. There's headwinds. There's not a day that goes by over the last couple of years you're not reading about whether it be regulatory action, fears of the rebates at PBMs, is Amazon going to get into the drug distribution and pharmacy business? But, you know, we see a lot of that as much more of a headline risk and a psychological scenario versus anything fundamental. And here's a company generating excellent free cash flow. Again, that's our focus. Excellent free cash flow. They've paid down substantial debt since the Aetna acquisition. They pay a great dividend, buy back stock. And we're looking at a business here trading in the low 90s that we think is worth 130, 140.
Great examples. Is there something you've moved away from recently that's an example of the sell discipline?
I would say a good example of something we moved away from, and it actually jumps into our smaller portfolio, was a company called Nautilus. We saw a lot of habits changing during the pandemic and people doing a lot more things at home. And then, you know, this company makes exercise equipment. And what we thought was they're a healthy competitor to Peloton. And we thought that they were going to boost a subscription business and have something sustainable, maybe not at the levels that it did during the pandemic, but still at a very nice rate. So we did our work, we got confident, we owned it, and effectively, you know, we started seeing some signs that Peloton was discounting heavily. It seemed like they weren't going to be able to keep their earnings up as a company themselves. And we said, you know what, we've lost money, but we think it's time to move to the sidelines. And that was at a price in the high single digits, it's now in the low single digits. So, listen, nobody likes selling stocks, particularly when you lost money. But you know what? That money went into something that we had a lot more confidence in, and we believed our thesis was wrong, and our cash flows weren't going to be sustainable. So we moved on.
And that's what we've got to do, because it's time for us to move on to some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I think something is happening.
Oh, yeah, something is happening here. We've gotten to Quick and Dirty, the lightning round with John Sullivan, portfolio manager at Olstein Capital Management. For more information, OlsteinFunds.com to learn about the Olstein All Cap Value Fund. You know how Quick and Dirty works. We're going to jump straight in, starting with a request we have from Richard in Chula Vista, California. He wants to know about KLIC. That's Kulik and Soffa Industries.
Yeah, so Kulik is a great business. Actually, Eric featured this on the show back in September of 2020. They're a leading player in wire bonding. They're expanding into other areas in the advanced packaging space. We see secular growth in the usage of semiconductors driving the need for their equipment. You've got an absolutely fantastic balance sheet with around $10 a share in net cash. And despite its inherent cyclicality, we still like it a lot. We've materially increased our estimates of through-cycle earnings, and also with that, the intrinsic value. So this one would be a buy for me.
All right, I will buy it. It'll be good for the economy.
Well, it is benefiting from the economy. It's KLIC, Kulik, and Soffa Industries. And by the way, Eric, who he was referring to, Eric Heyman, one of his co-managers who was on the show previously. Steve in Royal Oak, Michigan, wants to know about Lowe's Companies, ticker symbol LOW.
Here, another great company. We had owned this one for many years, but actually it sold about a year ago or so due to valuation. Here's a leading home improvement center in the do-it-yourself and do-it-for-me customer space. Absolutely excellent free cash flow. Again, our focus. Now, listen, we all see the headlines. The housing market's showing some signs of cooling. We see interest rates rising, but the price has pulled back, and for us, things are about price. Things are being heavily discounted. Personally, I would look for it a little bit cheaper here, but it's a great company. It's definitely a little cheap, maybe not as cheap as some other things. I would hold it.
So it's good company, not yet great stock. It's hold, looking for a buy on Lowe's, ticker symbol LOW.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
Tom in Smithfield, Kentucky wants to know about Wendy's company, WEN.
So Wendy's is a great concept with delightful food. You've got an excellent track record of same-store sales growth. We love highly franchised business models where they clip a ticket and let the franchisees run the businesses. Here's a company with strong free cash flow. On the surface, the debt's a little high, but that's typical in a franchise business given the steadiness of the free cash flow. It's not super cheap, but I would hold it.
You're not adding to it because of the valuation. It's a hold. Again, good company, not yet great stock.
Cheeseburger in paradise.
Yeah, it's a hold. So the cheeseburger has not quite gotten to paradise yet on Wendy's, W-E-N. Morris in Bradenton, Florida wants to know about Celsius Holdings, C-E-L-H.
So Celsius, pretty much everywhere I turn, it seems I see somebody drinking one of these. Sales have been growing very rapidly, and while it's still small, there's some out there that think it's going to be the next monster. My issue here, you've got a $5 billion market cap with no track record of free cash flow. There is a rumor out there that Pepsi's interested in buying it, but in my opinion, that's not a thesis. Will it grow into its valuation, or will people be drinking the next popular drink 3 to 5 years from now and it's some sort of a fad? I don't know, so for that, I must fold it.
Freshen up your drinks, folks. I'll be right back.
Yeah, freshen up your drinks. That doesn't mean you want to be buying Celsius Holdings. Instead, you want to wait to get back to it. That was a fold, a sell or avoid on CELH Celsius Holdings. And last, for Tom in San Francisco, Qrate Retail, that's Q-R-T-E-A.
So here, what I'm looking at is a secular challenged business model. You have profits generated by QVC and Home Shopping Network that's working to fund some of the more newer, exciting digital assets. You've got a very highly leveraged balance sheet. You've got free cash flow, but that free cash flow is declining. To me, this, I respect John Malone, but this to me smells like a value trap. I would fold.
So we finish on a low note because it's a sell, a fold on Qrate Retail, Q-R-T-E-A.
When do we sell?
You sell now, and we have come to the end of our time with John Sullivan. But John, it's been great. I appreciate you joining me on the show, and I hope you'll come back and do this with us again sometime.
I appreciate it, Chuck. Thank you so much.
John Sullivan is portfolio manager at Olstein Capital Management. Olstein All Cap Value, Olstein Strategic Opportunities. Learn about the firm, the funds, and John at OlsteinFunds.com. We'll come back, tell you where John agreed or disagreed on a couple of those picks with recent guests, and we'll let you know what's coming next week before we send you off for the holiday weekend. Finish line's in sight. Let's cross it together in just a minute.